This morning, we're going to be reading from Hosea, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, sons of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Dibleam, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses or horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God."
Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever had a friend who, when they were around you, they were one way, and then when they were not around you, they were a different way? Has anyone ever let you down? Has anyone ever told you that they were going to do something and they didn't follow through? Have you ever had a friend ignore you in public? Ever been stabbed in the back? Ever been cheated on by your spouse? Ever caught your husband doing something inappropriate and you didn't know he did that? Have you ever had a friend who spread rumors about you that weren't true? Have you ever told someone a secret and then they told other people about it without telling you? Have you ever had the experience where you trusted someone and they broke that trust? Have you ever been manipulated into buying something that you really didn't need to buy? Have you ever been deceived by someone where you gave them money and they never paid you back? Have you ever been betrayed? And how did you feel when that happened? I imagine for some of us in this room, just the fact that I raised some of the questions that I just now raised, you already have some feelings stirring in your gut. Feelings of anger. Feelings of hurt, memories that bring back pain, feelings of disappointment and frustration and disgust, feelings of shame, because maybe you've been the betrayer, feelings of guilt and embarrassment. And the message of the book of Hosea is that all of those feelings that you might have just felt right now, those are the feelings that God has felt about his people. I want you to imagine a young man who is very devoted to the Lord, very committed to God, wants to be used by God for any purpose. He feels that God has a special calling on his heart, that he has a message that God wants him to declare, and a special, unique service that God wants him to provide, and so he wants to be used by God. He's prepared himself to be a wonderful servant because he reads his scriptures daily. He prays often. He has a wonderful network of fellow believers that he can connect with. He has equipped himself to be this great and wonderful servant. But he just wants to know what it is that God wants him to do. So he gets off by himself to have a period of silence and meditation. He brings his Bible. He reads his scriptures. He prays. He tries to listen to God. And in the context of that special quiet time with God, he senses that God is telling him to do something, and that is to go marry a prostitute named Gomer. What would you tell that young man? I think you need to pray a little longer, son. I don't think you heard the Lord correctly. Because there's several critical problems with that command, right? I mean, first of all, he has to marry a woman named Gomer. That's not the most endearing name. No offense to anyone here named Gomer, and I know none of you aren't, okay? Because who would name your child that? But there's another problem. Gomer is a prostitute. A promiscuous or loose woman. And so how is Hosea going to introduce his new wife? Oh, you got married, Hosea. So wonderful to meet you. What do you do? I'm a prostitute. Oh. Talk about a conversation killer. That will do it, right? And the whole community is going to know that. And Hosea is going to have an extreme sense of shame. An embarrassment over his wife. But the biggest challenge of it all is that because Hosea is going to marry a promiscuous woman, a prostitute, there is a high likelihood that once she is married, she is going to continue the same actions. That in all probability, because he is choosing to marry a prostitute, he, even though he loves her with all of his heart, he is going to be betrayed. And that's the story of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. So you might remember that after Solomon was king of Israel, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And there were 10 tribes who became the northern kingdom and are sometimes referred to as Ephraim. And then there were 2 tribes that became the southern kingdom and they're sometimes referred to as Judah. And Hosea was one of 2 prophets that was to minister to the northern kingdom, to Ephraim. And there was a time when Ephraim was doing really well, where Jeroboam II was king. It just seemed like things were going really well for that kingdom. There was a lot of prosperity. The harvest was really good. The crops were growing really well, and there was a lot of money in the land. On top of that, the international scene was quiet. Things were peaceful in the region, and there was no wars or military conquests going on. On top of that, there was stability in leadership, as Jeroboam II was a leader for quite some time. But once he died, everything started to spiral out of control. And so all of a sudden, the international scene becomes quite chaotic as Assyria decides it wants to become the next big superpower, it wants to expand, and it wants to invade the northern kingdom of Israel, or Ephraim. On top of that, there becomes instability in the leadership. Over the next 30 years, there are 6 different kings, and only 2 of them die natural deaths. What that means is that there's a lot of conspiracies, a lot of assassinations, a lot of coups going on in the land. And then on top of that, the economic success dries up. The rains don't come, the crops don't grow, and there's not the good harvest anymore. Instead of people having plenty of money, now they can barely make ends meet. And so when Hosea comes onto the scene, the land, the northern kingdom, the land of Ephraim, is in crisis. And when people are in crisis, they seek something to give them some sort of security. They grasp at something that will provide at least the illusion that everything is going to be okay. And so in that context, what they were doing is they were grasping at idols, grasping at false gods, other gods. Now, it wasn't that Israel was saying goodbye to Yahweh, the God of Israel, and starting to become followers of another god. It was just that, well, Yahweh was good for some things. I mean, he was good for the Exodus, and he was good for the wilderness, and he was good for the Red Sea. But But we don't know if he's really going to help us with Assyria. And we don't really know if he's going to cause the rain to fall for our crops. And he hasn't really helped us with the royal leadership being stable. And so maybe we need to add to our worship the worship of Baal. Or maybe we need to add to our worship the worship of the Assyrian gods or the Egyptian gods, because maybe they will help us out. Maybe they will calm our fears and appease our anxieties and give us security, because we're always looking for security. Now, there's a couple of problems with this decision of the people to start worshiping other gods. Number one, these other gods were idols. They were worthless. If you worship a piece of wood, all that is a piece of wood. It can't talk to you. It can't say anything to you. It can't move. It can't cause any sort of action. It is worthless. If you worship the river or if you worship the sun, those are created beings, created things. They can't do anything. They can't talk back. They can't cause any actions. And so they are putting all this effort into offering sacrifices to false gods and to idols that were completely worthless to them. But there was a second and more deeper problem. Back at Mount Sinai, God had given the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. And the number one commandment was, "You shall have no other gods before me." That God wanted a people that were fully devoted to him, that loved him with all of his heart, all their heart, and all of their soul, and all of their mind, and all of their strength. He didn't want a people that just worshiped Yahweh when it was convenient, and when they thought Yahweh would be towards their benefit. He didn't want a people that just gave a portion of their heart to him. He didn't want a people who shared him with other gods. He wanted a people who were exclusively devoted to him. And so to God, the idea that his people were worshiping Baals was not simply offensive. It was not simply irritating. It was not simply annoying. It was betrayal. The book of Hosea is about covenant. That's what it's about. That God at Sinai had made a covenant with his people. And that covenant was that Israel was exclusively to worship God, and God was to be their God. And God has lived up to his end of the bargain. He has been faithful. He has been righteous. He has been dependable. He has been reliable. He's been trustworthy. The problem is that Israel has not. And what is the most graphic imagery of covenant in our world? It's marriage. When two people stand before a whole group of people and before God and proclaim vows to one another and exchange rings and declare that I'm going to be exclusively devoted to you, and that I'm going to belong to you only. That's the covenant of marriage. And what happened with God is that at Mount Sinai, he stood at the altar with Israel. And he and Israel exchanged rings and exchanged vows and declared, "I will be your God and you are to be my people." And Israel had decided to break that covenant. You know what's fascinating about the word Baal, how we say it at least, Baal in Hebrew, is that word means Lord, Master, or Husband. And so when Israel was deciding to worship Baal, in effect what they were saying to God is, "God, we want another husband. You're not enough for me. Yeah, you were good in the past. You were good when we were young. But now we need another husband." And Israel was pursuing other lovers, saying, "God, we want to be in the arms of another man." And God was betrayed. And here is where the story of Hosea becomes incredibly convicting. Because the story of Hosea on one level is about Hosea and Gomer. and Hosea choosing to marry a promiscuous woman and the complexity that that brings about. But at a deeper level, it's really not about that. It's about God and Israel and how God and Israel made a covenant at Sinai to be exclusively devoted to one another, and Israel has become the promiscuous woman and has broken that covenant and has betrayed God. But really, it's not about that. It's about God and us. Because we've made a covenant with God to be His people. We've declared in baptism that we are going to belong to Jesus. And yet too often, we have run after other husbands. And we have chased after other lovers. And we have run to the arms of another man because we are seeking security. And we're seeking some kind of guarantee that everything is going to be okay. And so we have prostituted ourselves in worshiping other gods. The story of Hosea is that we have been Gomer. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we've turned to our own ways at various times for various reasons. And we have become rebellious to our first true love. And we have betrayed God. We haven't just offended Him, we have betrayed Him. And the question of this book is, what does God do when the people that He loves turns their back on God and betrays Him? What does God do? How does God feel about that? And how does God respond about that? What's so fascinating about the book of Hosea is it's incredibly emotional. It's the most emotional prophet, or book of the prophets, that we have. God's a basket case in this book. One page you read and God's ready to destroy the people. The next page you read, God is ready to call them back. Why? Because He loves these people. And they betrayed Him. So how does God feel about that? And the first response that we see is, it hurts God. It hurts God deeply when those that He loves betray Him. It breaks His heart. And we see that coming out in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. He comes to Hosea, asks him to marry a promiscuous woman. And he tells Hosea, I want you to name your kids and what I'm going to tell you. I know we got some expecting mothers here this morning. You might be thinking about baby names. Don't turn to Hosea 1. These aren't good ones. The first child is born to Gomer, and God says, call that child Jezreel. Jezreel was a place. It was a place where Jehu had massacred Ahab and his household, killed over 100 people. It was a place known for bloodshed and purging and death. It would kind of be like names today of Pearl Harbor or Auschwitz in Germany or Hiroshima. Maybe in our context, it might be names like Katrina or Harvey. Names that when we hear it, it reminds us of a place where there was a whole lot of devastation, where there was a whole lot of death. And God says, call that child Jezreel because I'm going to put Israel to death. That's what I'm going to do. Second child comes and he says, call this child Lo-Ruhamah. Say that with me. Lo-Ruhamah. It means no mercy. No mercy. It's not even a name. It's a label. It's like calling somebody ugly or stupid. And God says, call your child no mercy because I'm not going to show mercy any longer to my people. And then the third child comes and he says, call this third child Lo-Ami. Say that with me. Lo-Ami. not my people. Another label, like calling someone illegitimate or not mine. He's declaring, these people no longer belong to me. No longer do I want you to say that I am the God of Israel. I'm not theirs. I don't belong to them. And I hear that and I think, wow, that is so strong. That is, there's a lot of anger coming out here. Why would God say these things? It's because God is hurt. God's heart breaks when his people betray him. And it wasn't just true back in the 8th century. It's true today. Behind me, you see this picture of a heart. It's God's heart, in a sense. And over the next several weeks, this picture is going to evolve. And it's going to be a description of how God's heart feels about betrayal. And we're going to watch as this heart starts to break. And it's going to be a reminder that that's how God feels when his people turn away from him. It breaks his heart. It brings out his anger. It brings out his wrath because he is hurt so deeply. But the second key point is that when God's people betray him, he does get really mad and he does get really angry. But he doesn't quit loving them. I mentioned that this book is an emotional book. In many ways, the book of Hosea is kind of like a soap opera. Now, I'm confessing right now, I don't watch soap operas, okay? Maybe you do. I'm not going to judge you for it. But soap opera is basically one of those shows that centers around a lot of times romantic situations, and it's up and it's down, and there's roller coasters, and there's always a cliffhanger at the end to get you to watch it the next day, and you don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes they're together, and sometimes they're apart, and that's the way the story of Hosea is. That it seems as if God is on this roller coaster with his people where he loves them, where he hates them, where he loves them, where he hates them. But the end of the story is that God still loves his people. They've hurt him deeply, but he still loves them. And we see that at the end of chapter 1, where it says, yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. Wait, hang on. Who was it that said that to them? It was God. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. That already here in chapter 1, we see there is a note of hope here that God is extremely angry with his people because they have betrayed him, and yet still he hasn't stopped loving them because he is already planning for a future day when there's going to be a time where instead of calling them not my people, he's going to call them children of the living God. And the story of Hosea is in reality, a story of invitation to write a new story. That yes, we've been the Gomer. Yes, we've been the prostitute. Yes, we've been the person who's turned away from God and pursued other lovers. But we can write a new story in Jesus Christ. We can write a new story where instead of being called not my people, instead of being the object of God's wrath, we can be called children of the living God. Praise God for that. A few weeks ago, we had a couple that knocked on the door of our church building. I mean, literally, knocked on the door of our church building. They were looking for a place to do community service, and they saw our church, thought, wonder what they've got going on. Maybe we could do some community service there. So I met with this couple, started showing them around to our community ministry, showed them our food pantry, our clothing ministry, showed them our Hope classroom. As I'm showing them all of these different ministries, the woman stops me and says, excuse me, but can I just speak to you in private for a moment? I said, absolutely. And so we step into a room and she begins to share her story. She said, I grew up going to church when I was a kid. And then as I got older, I quit. I quit the church, quit God, just turned my back, walked away. The way she put it, she said, I didn't like the Christian story, so I went searching for another story. And she said, that search has left my life in a mess. I said, my life's a mess. And she said, I want to come back. And then she said, how can I work back into God's good graces? And I said, well, you can't. No one can. That's what grace is all about. And then I said, let me tell you a story. There was this father who had two sons. And the younger son came to the father and said, can I have my inheritance now? And the father gave it to him. And he took his inheritance and he spent it all in wild living. And about this point in the story, she interrupts me and she says, that's me. That's my story. I said, well, that young man, he comes to his senses in the middle of a pig pen. And he decides he's going to go back home and he's going to ask for forgiveness. And he just wants to be a hired servant of his father. And I said, do you know what happens when the son comes home? As he's walking home, the father sees him from afar and he runs to meet him. And he wraps his arms around him. And he puts the robe around him and the shoes on his feet and a ring on his finger. And he says, let's kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate because my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And I looked at her and I said, if you come back to the Lord, he's going to throw a party. Because that's what he does when his people, even though they've betrayed him, when they come back to him, he throws a party. Because he loves them. That's the story of Hosea. That even though God's people have betrayed their God, God is ready to welcome them back. And if you have betrayed God, if you have turned your own way, God is ready this morning to throw a party. And he wants to welcome you back. It starts in the waters of baptism, where God forgives us of our sins and where he gives us his Spirit, adds us to the church. And if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we would love to celebrate with the angels with you. You can just come to the front when we sing our song here in just a second. Or if you feel like you have been going away from God and you want to come back to him, you need prayer, you need encouragement, you need to ask for forgiveness. We're going to have ministers and elders surround this auditorium here in just a moment. Just walk to one of them. Let them pray over you. Let them encourage you. If you feel like there's sin in your life, confess it to them. Let them pray over that with you. If we can help you this morning, please come now as we stand and sing.